First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 29th, 2015. For you.
And the king talked with them, and out of them all night long was found by Daniel, Maya, and Shadrach, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service, and asked for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all the world. You see,
thank you very much. As we close off looking at the book of Daniel, very simply, my point for this message was, what value has it been for us to look at this book? And when I look at this book myself, I see that this book is notable because only in here and in Ezra did God cause the Old Testament to be written in a language other than was primarily designed for his people. And that is the Aramaic language, Babylonian language. We talk about lingua franca, a very common language that would be spoken universally. Today I'm glad to say that it is English. I don't travel very often, but the few times I travel, I can expect to find something in English or someone who knows a little bit of English to help me. In the time this book was written, because of the power of the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and their continued use of some of these languages, the lingua franca of that day was Aramaic, a language that was so prevalent and powerful that as the Jews went into Babylon and spent their time in captivity, and again, most of them stayed there, only about 50,000 returned in the first return, about 538 BC. This language shaped and changed their language, the way they wrote. They adopted Babylonian script. And you see Hebrew script, that is Babylonian script, because they wrote it differently. Language, figures of speech and such, came back with them from Babylon. The way I illustrate this is our family oftentimes on Sunday after church. Anymore, we have pot roast at home. But sometimes we get in the car. They also enjoy those. I call it a mystery trip. I mentioned this before because if I ask where we go to lunch, the number of people in the car will be the exact number of choices that are suggested. And if I ask for an opinion, I'm going to take it. Sometimes I can cause conflict. Or if I just say, hey, we're going someplace, we're going to show up, people are going to be satisfied. Because if I limit the number of choices, then I have happy people. When we look at the Bible, sometimes when we look at it, forgive me for this, we look at the Bible incorrectly. And sometimes we, and we say evangelicals, Baptists, have been falsely accused of something, but it's because it's how we act. Because the Bible is not the end all. The Bible is the means that God gives us to discover things about Him. So what should be the focus of our faith? The answer is always going to be God. What does God want us to do? God wants us to trust Him. God communicates to us through His Word. He leads us with His Holy Spirit, generally guiding us in the Word, which is why we talk about the Bible. Because there's all kinds of things we could talk about. But since we believe, I believe, that we have a Word that's from God, that is not misleading us, and that contains truth for us, and has been delivered in the past and continues for now, then this is the focus of what we look at and study. But we don't worship the Bible. That's what we've been accused of, and there's some reason for that, because sometimes we focus so much on the Bible that we forget that the Bible is what is there to teach us about God. God didn't give us the Bible as an idol. God gave us the Bible as a means to get to know Him. Now, we are, however, connected with the Bible as a means of understanding God. So this year, there's a Gallup poll, May 6th through 8th, 2011, based on making an analogy between how often you went to church and what you thought of Scripture. So to me, it's no surprise that people who went to church weekly, over half of those people, and this is all across all denominations in the United States, over half the people that went to church every week believed that the Bible is the actual Word of God. These are God's words to us. And the people who rarely ever or never went to church, over a third of them, that the Bible is just a book of legends similar to Aesop and his fables. And this is what we want to avoid. You can see these two people there. Don't bother me. I'm looking for a verse of Scripture to back up one of my preconceived notions. So this is the danger of our Bible. Is that's why I want to make sure that, you know, well, I have a high degree of Scripture. I'm sure you do also. Scripture is the guide of faith and practice. But Scripture is not the end. We read the Bible, study the Bible, because it helps us connect with God. God has chosen to tell us things through His Word. So that's why we look at it. That's why we study it. That's why we focus on it. But it's there to teach us about Him. Jude, verse 20. But you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith. And Scripture helps build faith. As we look at the book of Daniel, we're going to look at seven primary slides. I want to look at the first seven chapters of this book. When we think of Daniel, we think of prophecy, we think of stories, but I'm trying to focus on, other than the first chapter, I'm focusing on the Aramaic section. Because when God allowed His people to go into a different culture, one of the effects of that is He expects His people to influence that culture. The culture itself may not change very rapidly, but God expects us to influence the culture no matter what. And that is what we are supposed to be doing. Is when you see Daniel and his friends entering into Babylon, into a place that's definitely not a place where they worship the true God, His words are not ultimately venerated as above all others. It is the influence of God through His people that make an impact on individuals. And that's why when we look at this section, kind of chapter 1, but definitely chapters 2 through 6, and I'm adding 7 because it's an Aramaic section as well, we see God giving a message that is primarily shared through individuals. As these individuals get a chance to speak on God's behalf to people who would not normally know how to understand what is happening to them, nor would they be able to have a right kind of wise perspective on life because of God's influence, because they had no influence. So when we look at these highlights from these seven chapters, when we close up our book, the reason I wanted to have this message today is I wanted us to see what I think we're supposed to be getting from Daniel, other than a bunch of tremendous stories. What is all this purpose to perform for us? What are people supposed to see? So when God's people were allowed by Him to go into captivity in a foreign culture, what effect, what should the people that they were living among see? They were not particularly cantankerous. They were not protesting. They did not overthrow their government. They had a slightly different function because they were under captivity, because that's what God's plan was for them. It was not something that was a surprise to God, because they had not kept their part of the bargain and what they had come. And God had already promised them that they would be delivered. But they still had to live through that, by the way. Looking at our situation, God has promised us that one day we'll be delivered from the earth when He comes back for us, rapture. One day we'll have a place in heaven that we'll live. But until then, we're in a foreign culture. And what kind of influence are we supposed to be having? So we're having these kind of direct comparisons. That's why I'm looking at this world. What is, I think, a theme from each chapter that we notice about God or God's people and how they should be impacting their culture. In the first chapter, when Daniel's taken prisoner, you see the theme of holiness. And they planned to intentionally, it's an odd phrase, but each one of these words I thought was important, they planned to intentionally honor God personally. So often when difficult things happen, bad things happen, we feel like because God hasn't honored us, this is the illustration we gave at offering time, about people who only pray for themselves, or pray for what they want, and pray for what they desire. Excuse me. As these people only pray about themselves, they lose the focus of what is God doing in the world around them, and they lose the focus on God being greater in the universe than they are, or than we are, or than I am. And when Daniel was taken captive, his friends did not decide that God had not taken care of them, that God had not been merciful to him enough, that God had not been gracious to them enough, that God had not blessed them enough, and they didn't blame God, they didn't curse God. But as they walked into the place that God had for them, they decided that no matter where they found themselves, they were going to honor God anyway. Even though they had every reason not to, and by the way, even though it seems that most of the people in the same situation that they were in did not honor God as vitally as they did, because Daniel and his friends stood out from the same group culture and environment that they were taken from. Most people did not have the same impression as they did. You don't see Daniel and his friends whining, complaining. They didn't have a plan. They did have a commitment to honor God and work with the leadership that they found themselves in as they tried to honor God. Chapter 1, verse 8, first part. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine with which he drank. Daniel's goal was to honor God by his conduct of living, even though other people did not. For us, a mark of us in our culture is we should honor God anyway, even though everybody else says, does, thinks, whatever else. God says, come out from among them and be separate. We need to live differently than other people do. Even though everybody does stuff, that's okay. Everybody is not following God like you are. Everyone is not worshiping God like you are. Everyone is not got the relationship to God that you have. And even among the brothers and sisters around the world, there are differences. So if God has given you guidance, direction from His Word, what we should be doing, that should be what we're doing, even though it might be difficult. And to live for God is difficult, because the natural person, the Bible says, does not understand the things of God or know how to use them. So don't be surprised that there are differences from you to other people. We are supposed to conduct ourselves differently because of who God is and the fact that He has brought us into His family. We need to reflect that our God is greater than other influences and powers in the universe. The image of Daniel 2 is of a great, powerful image of great size and of valuable or powerful components in different levels. As Daniel explains that vision, he ends up saying that the God of heaven in the future will set up a kingdom. I've told you Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In my mind, I agree with people who say this is very likely the foundation of Jesus' discussions that are recorded us in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, among all the Gospels, is a Jewish tent, the Old Testament quotations, Old Testament phraseology. And only Matthew contains the phrase, kingdom of heaven. And that phrase is found really primarily here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. The God of heaven shall set up the kingdom. God has given us eternal life in His greatness. Our great God, who's, even though there are tremendous things in this world, kingdoms come and go, leaders die, weapons rust, money is spent, natural disasters happen, change is going to take place. The only thing that does not change is God exists. And one day, God will change things to have a new earth so that nothing will destroyed. Nothing will change, and we will be caught up to be with him forever in the clouds in that new Jerusalem. So our great God, who exists and doesn't change, is the one who will cause us, in his greatness, to receive gifts and be like him, where we will go to be with him, and we will not change. We will be kept safe and secure because of our great God. Worship is something that we should be doing. We need to devote ourselves to God, not just his things or his benefits. That's what we're talking about. Scripture. Scripture is powerful. We should be reading our Bible. We should be praying to God. We should be seeking his face. But again, these things are ultimately a means to the end of us being close to our God in heaven. Because godliness is a tremendous personal character trait to have. And there's many things that God can do to cause us to be with him. And sometimes we can confuse God's things with God's benefits with him. You've heard me say before, that's why sometimes I'm picky and a little OCD. But this is not a sanctuary. You are not sitting in a sanctuary. Some of our church friends will talk about a place like this as a sanctuary, as if this is where God lives, like a temple. But you know, your New Testament tells you that you are the temple of the living God. So you come to honor God and worship him, but when you leave, God goes with you. This God is in you. So this is only a special place because you are here, because of the things that you do here. But God is not here anymore when you are not here, because you take God with you, because God indwells you. So focus on your relationship with God, and everything should have a holiness component. How can I put these things under God's control? And Daniel's friends recognized, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship them. So somehow, committing ourselves to God and pleasing him is supposed to be something that we focus on doing, as well as recognizing that our God is a God of justice, even for a king. That is something that was a great struggle in the Middle Ages, where you have what's the source of power? And in most nations, to have a king is the law focused on the king, or is the king himself supposed to follow the law? Rex Lex or Lex Rex in Latin. In England, in the days of Henry VIII, he focused that he was the law. So he changed and tore up a lot of things, because of his position, ultimately not just leader of his country, but leader of even his church and leader of his people, religious relationship to one another and to God. And even the king should be subject to God's laws. All of us need to be subject and humble ourselves before God's justice. All of us need to recognize that God is the one who's in control, not just a little part of the world that we have the ability to manipulate. Daniel 4:37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the God of heaven, for all of his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. He's going to visit, he's shown that he is a great king. Imminence, what we talked about. God is near us. God is able to be found. Something people like to mock with is, where is God? I've looked for him. I've tried to seek him. Some people who've gone into outer space from other lands have commented, I went to God. I looked around him. I didn't see him anywhere. And this phrase goes, never are those who are blind who shall not see. God tells us he is found in nature and his created work. He is seen in the world around us. And Romans chapter 1 says that the created universe, some of its purposes are for us to realize that we are small, there's something bigger out there, and that everything that's out there is divine. And Romans chapter 1 talks about his eternal purpose in Godhood. So somehow we should recognize that God is with us and that God is watching us. If you remember the lesson from Daniel chapter 5, as the new king over these people began to have a party for his extended national leaders and then the wags, wives and girlfriends. And he decided, I remember that Nebuchadnezzar went to Israel and took these holy and holy things to the Jewish temple. I don't think we've ever used them yet for our common monthly party. Go get those things. And that is when God recognizes, you don't recognize that I'm watching. You don't think I'm near. You think I'm like these worthless things that you pay attention to and try and control the people with. But God is near us. God is watching us. God is looking at us to reward us, to encourage us, to guide us, and if necessary, to convict us. And this king that night found out that his son was not recognizing that, that God is far special than he was, because it was going to take his kingdom away from him. He would be divided because he was seen as not worthy, because he was weighed in the balance and found to be lacking. He recognized that in modern day, just before he lost his kingdom. In Daniel chapter 6, we have the great story of trust. Because Daniel's faithfulness to God, because he trusted him, was his secret satisfaction. Some people say, well, what do you love? You know what? If it's just me, I'm going to go out and get a steak. If it's just me, I'm going to go get a hot chocolate. If it's just me, I want a big piece of coconut cream pie, whatever it is that you like. And in Daniel's case, if it was just him, he'd spend some time in prayer and worship and communion with God. And when Daniel was about to be elevated to a very higher place in the kingdom that he already had been, people tried to find something to get him in trouble with. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel, unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Daniel would only be caught if it had something to do with worship. Why? Because he trusted God. What does God want from us? God wants us to trust Him. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The same is true for us. If we trust God, it should be an evident characteristic that we do what God says, even when other people who claim His name don't. And somehow that should be something caught by the culture we live in. Transcendence. Somehow God is above and great and powerful. The greatest of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, to the saints, to the Most High. I think it's easy to skip over when we look at God's plans for the future, because God's future for Israel is terrible and still terrible. The Bible says that in the future will be the worst for any people, I believe, that ever existed, is what Israel is going to face near the end of the future time, the 70th week of Daniel, and unless God cut the day short, everyone, including the Jewish people, would have died. God says, at the end of time, He is watching, He is keeping track, and because He is transcendent, He is not affected by the things that take place. He is not personally limited by the sins of this world. He is not stopped when people don't obey or are contrary to Him. One of His plans is, notice the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people. The saints of the Most High. God will share some of His honor and glory of what He does in history, things beyond our standing, for us, for our ultimate eternal benefit. Daniel 7:27, the kingdom, dominion, the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven, so begin with the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. For us, I go back to those words from Daniel chapter 3, verse 18, even if He does not, we want you to know, O Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Faithful living is impossible if you have no faith in anything greater to believe in personally. Your faith is as great as what you have faith in. And because we trust God and we want to understand Him, the understandable we seek, the one who is unable to be understood. We want to say that He knows us, and we try to scratch the surface and know Him. But we believe in one who is greater than us anyway. And even if He doesn't for the moment give us everything that we want, we still need to overcome that because of the power of faith He gives us and to still be found faithful in Daniel chapter 1. God wants us to stop, look up, and see Him. The great empires that Israel was being controlled in the book of Daniel, and the future empires, still at least one future that Israel will be controlled by, are so busy on their own things that they do not see that there is a God. We do not see that there is a God who is just, who is holy, who has guidance. And even today, we can be so overwhelmed or so focused on other things, we don't stop to see God. God wants us to see Him. Again, why do we have Scripture? So we can see God. Why does God give us the universe? So we can try and have the understanding that there's something greater out there. The divine one that we need to connect with. Who made all this? Who's doing all these things? And seeing God clearly changes everything. Let me illustrate that. You probably have never heard of Charles E. Laureate Company. He was a man who ran a bookseller company in Boston. He is famous because he was one of the people who was on the ship, the Lusitania. And as he was traveling and that ship was sunk in those early days of World War I, people began to abandon ship. And as people were abandoning ship, there were only so many lifeboats, and people began to find, they were distributed to them life jackets. And life jackets are generally designed, as these were, to have a top and a bottom. Because some part of the life jacket would have to keep you out of the water while the rest would be held your body. And Mr. Laureate noticed that people were in such a rush to try and get off the boat that they were not paying attention. Because they weren't like the ones you often see on cartoons with a big collar or something. They were just a vest that you would tie out around yourself, some of the fluffier inflated. But it's designed that one end of it would be up out of the water. And a lot of people were putting their life jackets on upside down. And that's important because in the ocean, when you jump in, your body is very insignificant compared to the waves, compared to the great sea. And if you didn't have your life jacket on properly, your life jacket, as it did what it was supposed to do, one end of it out of the water, the other end of it down. If you had it on upside down, the wrong part of you would be up. And when people came to rescue some people from the wreck of the Lusitania, many people were discovered with their feet or their other part of their body up in the air and their heads in the water because they put their life jacket in upside down. The sailor was trying to stop people, get their attention. Hey, stop. You've got it upside down. It's not going to work right. You're going to get in the water. You're going to struggle to have your head up. But people didn't care in their rush. They wanted to get something, thinking that something would save them, rather than saying, wait, how does this work? What's the purpose? Is it worth 10 seconds to think and listen for a minute and reflect? Or am I just going to do the best I can and jump? This life is filled with people who are crashing because they haven't taken a minute to see what the purpose of things is. And God has us here so that we can know Him. God has a plan for the ages that's based on faith. And just grabbing at God and jumping is not enough. God tells us that our purpose is to know Him. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, I have come so that they will know me also, the one who has sent. That is eternal life. Knowing God and knowing the one who He has sent, which is Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. The Holy Spirit guides us into God's truth. If we just grab and jump, we may end up no better than those people who had access to the means of their deliverance, but without paying any understanding or using any wisdom, thought just by reaching out, they would have enough. God tells us we need to have trust, we need to have faith, we need to believe in Him. And that is the message that delivers us. And even though we're the only people in the room that think the same way, God will have people look at us, talk to us, question us, wonder, and they will notice how we reflect the God that lives in us. That's what we take away from the book of Daniel. How do we reflect God's truth? If we say we know Him, what is noticeable about us? And there should be the notice of the things we've looked at. Holiness. We have a great God. Recognizing that God makes a difference in life. That God is near us. That God transcends everything around us. That God needs to be worshipped. All these things are things that the more people spend time with us, the more they should catch that those are aspects of our character because we know that.
God, help us through all of our lives to put our foundation on you. Help us to seek you. Help us to know you. Help us to honor you. Help us to worship you. Help us to pray for you. God, help us to refocus our energies on finding you. Help us to not be satisfied that we know who you are, that we read a few things in your book, but help these things to be means of the end of finding, enjoying, seeking, and using the eternal life you give us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Humble us. Help us to be like the people who know you, who, without reservation in Scripture, bow their knee, pray, read your word, serve you, serve others. Focus on giving you the honor and praise, demonstrating humility, and change of conduct. Help us not to take the excuse, well, so what? This is where I've been all the time. God, help us to honor you and, as Peter says, grow in grace. The only time we don't change is when we're dead. Help us, Father, to demonstrate that we're alive in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,